Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Yud Tet. Today's daf has been sponsored by Nisim and Elias Basan in honor of their dear mother Sarah Bat Malka. Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Alun Ishmat Hakam Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Kuf Yud Tet Amud Rishon, and we start actually on the top line. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Titili, they're going to give me reward. Dechiatat surba merabbanan lekamai ledina. When a young Talmid Hakam comes in front of me for judgment, which means he has a certain case that he needs to be judged, so the Rava said that he loves the Talmidei Hakamim so much, lo mazigna reshi abes sadya. He said, I cannot put my head on the pillow that night until I find a way to justify and give the benefit to the Talmid Hakam. Because when the Hakam comes to court, he said, I struggle, I lose sleep in order to figure out a way in order to exonerate him, to find out why what he's saying is justified, that the case should be in his favor. Of course, he did not pervert the justice, but he's saying that he loved the Talmid Hakam so much that he expended so much energy in order to give them the credit. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor Barav Asher. Mor Barav Asher said, he even goes a step further. Pasilna le letzurba merabbanan ledina. He said, I am pasul to judge a Talmid Hakam. When a Talmid Hakam comes to the courtroom, I am not allowed to be the judge. Why? My ta'ama, the habib alai kegufai. Because the Talmidei Hakamim are beloved to me like myself. The en adam ro'eh chovah le'atzmo. And a person does not find a flaw in himself. And since I love the Talmidei Hakamim as I love myself, I'm biased. I cannot even see a flaw in them, and therefore I am pasul, I am unfit to render them judgment. The Gemara continues about how the rabbis used to accept Shabbat in the olden days. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Hanina mi'atif. He would cover himself in a talet, in a robe. Ve'ka'eh apanya d'ma'ale shabbeta. And he came and he stood on Erev Shabbat, meaning on Friday afternoon. Amar, and he said, Bo'u v'netze l'krat Shabbat hamalka. He would tell his students, come, let us go out and greet the Shabbat queen. So you see the attitude that the Talmidei Hakamim had towards the Shabbat, as if they were going out to greet a queen. Rabbi Yanai, Lavish Maneh. Rabbi Yanai would put on his special garments, B'ma'ale Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, V'amar, and he would say, Bo'i kala, bo'i kala. He would greet the Shabbat by saying, come the bride of Shabbat, come the bride of Shabbat. Comes the, again, all this was done out of the admiration and love that they had for the Shabbat. The Gemara continues, Rabba Baravuna, Ikla lebe Rabba Barav Nachman. Gemara says that Rabba Baravuna found himself in the house of Rabba Barav Nachman on Shabbat. So they've served him tlat save techayeh, three se'ah, which is a large amount of techayeh, that she says those are certain type of cakes that were were fried in oil. And he served them a large amount of it. There was a big quantity. Amar le, mihava yida'itun da'atena. Did you know that I was coming? That you prepared so much food? Amru le. So the rabbi said back, mi adifat lan mina? Are you better than it? Meaning, are you better than the Shabbat? I knew the Shabbat was coming. The Shabbat is a guest. And therefore I prepared all this food, lichbod Shabbat. You're not better than the Shabbat. And the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abba Zavan, he used to buy bitlesar astire peshite with the amount of 13 astire peshite, that's the coin that they used to use in the older days. That was the price he used to pay. Bisra, used to buy meat. Mitlesar tabahe, he used to go to 13 different butchers on Erev Shabbat in order to buy different cuts of meat. Umashlim lehu at sinura de dasha. And he used to pay them by the threshold of the door, which means, according to Rashi, we quote Rashi inside. What does it mean? He used to pay them by the threshold of the door. Rashi says, "Lifne bo'am lehavilu abbasar hayam mezamen lehem ma'oteim al pitham," which means he would pay them even before they would get him the meat. He would take the money and put it right at the front of their door, and he would tell them, "Ve'amar lehu, ashur hiya, ashur hiya, strengthen yourself and hurry." Meaning, he wanted to get the meat very quickly. So he'd drop the money in front of the door of the butcher and say, "Hurry up, ma'ed, fast, Shabbat is coming, prepare for me the meat." That he would tell the butchers. Some explain that he didn't put the money in front of the butchers, but he took the meat that he bought and put it in front of his house. He would take the meat home, drop it in front of his door, tell his cooks, hurry up, cook the meat, in order that he could run back to the next store to get some more meat. So he wouldn't even have time to go into his house to give it to them. He'd drop it in front of the door and say, "Maher, cook the meat lichvod Shabbat," and he would run out to get some more meat. In any event, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abhu, Haba Yativ, Rabbi Abhu would sit at Tachtaka Deshina. He was very wealthy, and he would sit at a table that was made out of ivory. Umoshif Nura. And that she says that he used to bellow the fire that was in front of him. It seems he had a fire prepared lichbod Shabbat, the fire that they would use, let's say, to heat up or warm up the food or the house. So his job, lichbod Shabbat, was he would make sure that the fire is working well, you know, for the Shabbat. So in the Erev Shabbat, he would sit by the ivory table and he would blow, you know, he'd blow the fire in order to get it to be, a decent fire that was working. Again, you see, even though that they were wealthy, they didn't tell their servants to do these menial jobs. Lichbod Shabbat, they themselves went out of their way to do something. Rav Anan Lavish Gunda. On Erev Shabbat, Rav Anan used to wear a black robe. And Rashi explains to us, because since he used to prepare the food, so he did not want to wear his good clothes in order not to soil them and dirty them for Shabbat. So therefore he would wear black clothes in order that he would get himself a little dirty. It's okay, then he would change lichbod Shabbat. Detana, deber Rabbi Yishmael, begadim shebishel bahem kedera l'rabo, because we learned the name of Rabbi Yishmael, the clothes that you used to cook the pot of food for your master, al yimzog bahem kos l'rabo. You don't wear those same clothes to pour him his wine, which means when you're in the kitchen, you wear regular clothes, and then when you come out to serve, you put on different garments. So the Gemara is telling us, Rav Anan would get himself dirty on Erev Shabbat. He would be in the kitchen, he would be cleaning, or he would be cooking, and therefore he would wear black robe on Erev Shabbat, in order to show you again the kavod that he had for the Shabbat. Rav Safra Maharich Resha. He used to singe the head of the animal. Seems they used to eat, let's say, Rosh Kevis, the head of a sheep, let's say, on Shabbat. So there's hair. So in order to prepare it, you need to singe or burn the hairs that are on the top of the animal's head. So he would be in charge of that job. Rabba Malach Shibuta. And Rabba himself would salt the fish. Shibuta is a fish. Lichbod Shabbat. Ravuna Madlik Sharge. Ravuna used to light candles or light. Lichbod Shabbat. Rav Papa Gadil Petilta. And the Papa used to make the wicks in order to light Lichbod Shabbat. Rav Chizda Parim Silka. Rav Chizda would cut up the beets. He would make the salad. He would cut up the beets Lichbod Shabbat. Rabav Rav Yosef Matzlehe Sibe. Sibe is the wood. They would prepare the wood for the fire for Shabbat. Bizera mitzatet tzitute, which means they would actually take the little pieces of wood and they would stick it in the fire in order to make sure that it lasts over Shabbat. Again, the common denominator here between all the rabbis is each one did something themselves Lichbod Shabbat, and nobody said that they're too great or too honorable not to get their hands dirty with some preparations. The Gemara continues and says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak Mechatev Ve'ayil Mechatev Ve'nafik, which means the way the Rashi explains it, he would constantly run into the house and run out of the house. He was jumping the whole Erev Shabbat back and forth. The way the Gemara says it is mechatef va'ayil. He would jump and go into the house, mechatef v'nafik, jump and go out of the house. Why? Because he was constantly bringing goods, which means packages and food stuff back and forth. So he was running back and forth, as she says, and he writes just like a person that's receiving his rabbi, let's say, or his master as a guest. So he wants to make the house look beautiful, so he's nervous. So he's running back and forth in order to prepare everything so it looks nice. So you saw the fear on the rabbi, that he, as if somebody physically was coming to visit him, so he'd be jumping back and forth. Amar, he said, Ilu mekale'in li Rab Ami v'Rab Aseh. If I would have had Rav Amir and Rav Aseh, let's say, come as my guests, Milo mechatfina kamayu, would I not jump back and forth for them? Therefore, I'm having the Shabbat. Shabbat is a guest, which means they understood this as a reality. He was saying, what do you mean? If I was hosting the great rabbis of Amir and Rav Aseh, would I do anything less? Therefore, for Shabbat, I must do the same thing. V'ika de'amri, and some have a different version. Rav Amir v'Rabbi Aseh mechatfe v'aile mechatfe v'nafke. They were jumping in the house and out of the house, running back and forth. Amri, and they said, Ilu ikla' lan Rabbi Yohanan. If we would have Rabbi Yohanan as a guest, mi lo mechatfinan kameh, would we not run back and forth for his honor? And the Gemara continues, Yosef Mokir Shabehava. There was a fellow called Yosef, and he was known to respect the Shabbat. Hahu Nochri Beshibute. There was a certain Gentile that lived in his neighborhood. Dava Nefishi Nichse Tuba. That had a lot of money. He was very wealthy. Amri le Kalda'e. So one of the Kalda'e, those are the stargazers, told the goy his future. And he told him, Kullehu nikhse, all your wealth and all your money, Yosef Mokir Shabbe Achilehu. is going to be eaten by this Jew, Yosef, that respects the Shabbat. She was saying all your money is going to end up in the hands of this Yosef. Azal, so the goy, when he heard that, he went, Zabninu lechudehu nichse. So he sold all his assets. Zaban behu marganita. And he bought a precious pearl, you know, that was worth all his assets. Utba besayneh, and he placed it in his hat or in his handkerchief amongst other stones. So there was a precious pearl that he was wearing now, in order that all his assets, at least he can control. He has it, you know, by him, that nobody can take it. One day he was crossing over the bridge, a wind came, shadya bimaya, and blew his hat or the pearl into the water. A big fish came and swallowed the pearl, and there went all his assets. Askuha, somebody went and fishing, and they caught that fish. Aituha apanyad ma'aleh shabbeta. So they brought it now to the marketplace on Eid of Shabbat. Amre, they said, man zavin ki ashta. Who's going to buy a fish like this on Eid of Shabbat? Then he was late already. It's right before Shabbat. A few moments before the Shabbat, everybody's prepared already. Who now is going to buy a fish like this at such a, the last minute? They said, oh, we know who can buy this. Amilu, they said, Zilu amtiyu legabe Yosef makir Shabbat. We know there's a customer for this. Go to the guy Yosef who respects the Shabbat. Diragil de Zabin. He's accustomed to buy things. He'll take it. Amtiyu nehaleh. So they brought the fish to him, Zebneh, and sure enough he bought it, Lechmot Shabbat. Kara'eh, he cut open the belly of the fish, Ashkach be'margarita, and sure enough he found the pearl. Zebneh bitlesar ilata, didinreh didahaba. He sold it for 13 boxes, let's say, of golden coins, which means he received an exorbitant amount of money for this pearl. Pagar be'ahu saba. A certain elderly rabbi met up with Yosef Mokir Shabbat. Amar, and he said, Man di yaziv shabbeta pare'e shabbeta. Somebody that spends money and borrows money even for the Shabbat pays him back, which means the money that you spend for the Shabbat, you get back. So here, all that money, all those years that Yosef spent the Chmod Shabbat, it all ended up coming back to him. The one that spends for Shabbat and even borrows money for the Shabbat will make sure to pay him back. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ba'amine Rabbi Mirabi Ishmael Birabi Yosef Ashirim Shebe'eris Israel Bemahim Zochin. Those wealthy people that live in Israel, what zechut do they have that they become wealthy? What's the secret of their wealth? Amadle, he said to him, Bishvil Shemeaserin. It's because they give their ma'aser, they give their 10%. They give their proper amount to tzedakah. Shneimar, aser to aser. The pasuk says, give your 10%. But it's written in a double language. Aser to aser. Why? Aser b'shvil shetitasher. As if the pasuk is saying, give your 10% in order that you shall become wealthy. So that's what the people in Eretz Israel, they were careful in their maaser. Shebebabel b'mahin zochin. What about the people in Babylonia that are wealthy? What mitzvah do they do? Amale b'shvil shemechabedim et haTorah, because they respect the Torah, they respect the Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore that brings them blessing. V'shebishar aratzot b'mayin zochin. And what about the other countries of the world? What zechut do they have to become wealthy? Amale b'shvil shemechabedim et haShabbat. Because they honor the Shabbat, the Amar Bihiya Bar Abba. Pamachat Nit Acharti. Nitarahti etzel ba'al ha'bayit belutkiya. He says, one time I was a guest at a certain fellow's house in the city of Lutkiya. Ve'eviyu lefanav shulchan shel zahav, and they brought in front of him a table that was made out of gold, masui shisha asar bene adam, so heavy it was that it took 16 people to carry it. Ve'shesh esre shel shelaot shel kesef kivuot bo, and there were 16 strands of silver that were attached to this, chains of silver that were attached to this golden table. The ka'arot, the kosot, the kitoniyot, the sluhiyot, kivuot bo. And there was all sorts of dishes and cups and vessels that are used for eating. The alav, and on the table, kol mine ma'achal, all sorts of food, the kol mine megadim, and all sorts of let's say tasty foods and special foods, delicacies, ubesamim, and all sorts of fragrant spices. Ushemanihim oto, when they place the table down in front of everybody, omrim lahashem haaretz u'mlo'ah. They say, God, everything belongs to God. Lahashem haaretz u'mlo'ah, because before they eat, it doesn't belong to them. So they would say, everything over here belongs to Borei Olam. Ushemisalkin oto, but after they finish the meal, omrim hashamayim shamayim lahashem vaharis natan lebnei adam. They say that God gives the land to human beings, meaning after they would make berachot and they would eat, they would say, now we have acquired this food over here. But you see what? You see how much they were mechabed the Shabbat, with golden tables and all sorts of vessels and all sorts of foods and things like that. Amarti lo, bini. So he said to him, my son, bema zachita lekach, where did you get all this wealth from? I mean, such a table of gold with all that silver. What's the secret of your success? Amar li, so he said, katzav hayiti. So I used to be a butcher. Umikol behema shaita na'a. And every time I would slaughter an animal that was nice, amarti zu tehe l'shabbat. So you know what? This over here I'm saving l'chmod Shabbat. Amarti lo, so I said to him, Ashrecha shezachita, you are fortunate that you merited such wealth on account of your respect to the Shabbat. Ubaruch hamakom shezikecha lekach, and blessed be the God that gave you the opportunity to enjoy and gave you the zechut. Amale kesar l'Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. The Caesar once told Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, "Mepene ma tavshil shel Shabbat? Why is it the tavshil of Shabbat, the food of Shabbat, lehonodif, has a very good smell to it? What's the secret of the Shabbat food?" Amar lo, "Tevalin echad yesh lanu. We have a special spice that we put in the food, the Shabbat shemo, and the name of the spice is Shabbat." We place the Shabbat spice in the food, and it gives it a very aromatic smell. He said, please, give me some of the spice. He said, you have to be a Shomer Shabbat in order for this spice to work. One that's not Shomer Shabbat, so the food does not have that special taste. Amar le resh galuta le Rav Menuna. May dichtiv. What does it mean in the pasuk? Venegdosh Hashem mechubad. For the holy day of God, mechubad, one must respect it. Amar le, so he said to him, Ze yom kippurim. This day, Negdosh Hashem, the holy day, is not referring to Shabbat, because in that chapter already discussed Shabbat. It mentioned the karat la Shabbat onig already. So when it says v'likdosh Hashem, mechubad must be talking about a different day. Which day is that? Kippur. And what's the kavod. So he says, she'en bo no achila. You can't eat on she'en kippur. So that cannot be the respect. Ve'lo shtiya. You cannot drink. Amra Torah, kabedeu b'chesut nikiya. So what's the kavod of Yom Kippur? By wearing a nice suit. Meaning by wearing a nice garment, nechbod today. So nekdosh Hashem mechubad. How do you respect Yom Kippur? Ksut nekiya. Vechibbato. Now we go back to how to respect the Shabbat. Rav Amar lagdim. Rav says that in the respect of Shabbat, you should eat your meal a little earlier than you normally do. On the Shabbat morning, let's say. Instead of eating at the normal time, let's say at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, push the meal earlier, lechmod Shabbat, 11:30. Ushmael Amar Be'acher. Shmuel says, no, eat a little later than normal in order that you gain an appetite, in order that you eat the meal of Shabbat with an appetite. That's the kavod. Amru le b'nei Rav Papa bar Abba le Rav Papa. The sons of Rav Papa told their father, Kegon Anan, like us, Nishchiyach lan bisra v'chamna kol yoma. We're accustomed to eating meat and wine all week long. B'may nishniyeh. So how are we going to make Shabbat special and different? Because we eat good all week long. How is Shabbat going to be special? Amar lehu, iraglitu la'akdumeh. If you normally eat early, achoru, eat late. If you normally eat late, akdemuha, eat early, which means the time that you eat the Shabbat meal also is lechmod Shabbat by eating it at a different time than you normally would eat that meal. Rav Sheshat, who was the teacher, bekita in the summer, when he used to give the shiur on Shabbat, motiv leul rabbanan, he would sit the students where the sun was. Ubisitva in the winter, motiv leul rabbanan, he would sit the rabbis in the class, where the rain would hit them. Why would he sit them in the sun or in the rain? So they will rise up very quickly. Meaning, he did not want the students to stay in the shiur the whole Shabbat. So he specifically put them in a place where they're going to become uncomfortable in order that they get up from their class and go home and eat. So therefore he specifically would teach them in the summer in the heat. Eventually they would get so hot, so they would just get up and leave and go home and have the onik Shabbat. So you see, he engineered it in a way that they should go home and enjoy the Sauda. Fabizera Mehader Azuze Zuze Drabbanan. Gemara says, Rabbi Zera, when he used to see pairs of rabbis talking Divrei Torah on Shabbat, so he would go to them and tell them, Amar Lehu Bematuta Minaichu. He would say, please forgive me with your permission. Lo Tehalelune. Do not desecrate the Shabbat. How are they desecrating the Shabbat? They were talking to the Torah. But he was saying, you have to go home and eat. You have to go home and enjoy the Shabbat also with good foods. You see, in the olden days, the Hakamim used to spend the whole Shabbat with the Divrei Torah. But to the extent where they neglected even the Onik Shabbat of Achila Ushtiyah. So therefore the rabbi would have to tell them, listen, Abotai, it's great to talk and converse in the Torah, but you have to go have Onik Shabbat. That's also a mitzvah. So don't desecrate the Shabbat. Go home and eat. Go do... But you see again, the priority of the Hakamim was not the eating. They would get so caught up in the learning that one rabbi had to put them in the sun in order to figure out a way that they'll get up to go home and eat. And the other rabbi needed to go like a patrol and stop the people from learning in order to remind them that they have to go home and have Onik Shabbat. Amarava ve'etim Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi afilu yachid ha-mitpalel be'erim Shabbat. Even an individual that is praying on Erim Shabbat, let's say Friday night, sarich lomar ve'chulu, he must say the paragraph that we say in the Amidah, and we say after the Amidah as well, ve'chulu ha-shamayim ve'ares ve'chol sevam. Why? De'amar av emenuna. Kol ha-mitpalel be'erev Shabbat. Anybody that prays on Friday, erev Shabbat, ve'omer vaychulu, and he says this chapter, how God finished the creation of the heavens and the earth, ma'ale'alav ha-katuv, kilu na'asa shutaf la'kadosh baruch hu, b'ma'aseh bereshit. It is considered as if he is a partner with God in the creation of the world. Why? Because without somebody testifying that it happened, so it's not known. Which means if somebody does something but nobody reveals it, nobody publicizes it, so therefore it's not known. So therefore he becomes a partner in the creation. Which means God created the word verbally. Right? Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, the words. And you come verbally and testify that it happened, so now you're his partner. God created it with words, and you verify that it happened. So you're considered a partner. Shine Emar, Vaychulu. The Pasuk is written Vaychulu, which means the heavens and the earth were completed, right? And then there was Shabbat. Al Tikri Vaychulu. Don't read the word Vaychulu, which is referring to the finishing of the heavens and the earth. Ela Vaychalu. Vaychalu could mean, and they finished, meaning God and people finished the creation. As if we are partners with God. The Vaychulu is not going on the heavens and the earth. It's going on that God and the people finished the creation. How do we finish the creation? By testifying that he created it. Amar Rabbi Elazar, minayin shadibur kemaase. How do we know that dibur, when somebody says something, it's as if he actually did an action? How do we know that verbally something is considered as if it is a action, a deed? Shneimar bidvar Hashem shamayim naasu. So even though God only created the world with speech, Yehi Or, Yehi Rakia, these are words. But the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Bidvar Hashem, with the word of God, Shamayim Naasu, the world was actually done, it was created. So therefore you see, words are also considered as if it is a Maaseh. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mor Chokba, Kol HaMitpalel Be'erev Shabbat. Anybody that prays on Friday night, Vomer vaychulu, and he says this paragraph vaychulu Hashemayim ve'ares, shene malachei asharet. There are two angels, hamedavim lo le'adam, that usually escort a person, even though we don't see these angels, but the Gemara says that everybody is escorted by angels. Manihim yedehem al rosho. They take their hands and they place it on the fellow's head. Ve'omrim lo, they tell him, Vesar avonech vehatatecha techupar. They say your sins are erased and your hatat, your sins will be atoned. Which means that by saying vaychulu on erev Shabbat, a person is forgiven for his sins. Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda omer. Shene malachei asharet menavino le'adam be'erev Shabbat bebet hakneset lebeto. Friday night after the synagogue, the two angels escort him from synagogue to his house. Ehad tov ve'ehad ra. One's the good angel, and one's the bad angel. U'sheba lebeto, when he comes home, u'matzan ner daluk. He walks in and he sees the candles lit. V'shulchan aruch, and the table set. U'mitato mutza'at. And the bed and the couches are made. Malach tov omer. So the good angel says, Yiratzon shetehe leShabbat acheret kach. Let it be the will that just like he respected the Shabbat this week, Yiratzon that he should have the zechut to do the same thing next week. Umalach ra, and the bad angel, One amen ba'al korho. The bad angel is forced to answer amen against his will. Ve'im lav, but when the fellow walks into his house on Friday night and nothing is prepared, the house is not ready. Lechmot Shabbat, malach ra omer. The bad angel is excited. And he says, Yiratzon shetehe leShabbat acheret. Please let it be the will that just like this week he wasn't prepared for Shabbat, next week should be the same. Kach umalach tov one amen baal korho. And the good angel answers amen against his will. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar taught, Me'olam yisadir adam shulchano be'erev Shabbat. A person should always set his table on Erev Shabbat. Even though technically all he has to eat is a kezayit of bread, lichbod Shabbat, but he should set his table with all the delicacies. He should set it nicely. Meaning like this, the way the Mefarshim explained. We're talking about a guy, let's say, that had a Saudat mitzvah on Erev Shabbat. So he was allowed to eat. He's full. Now he's going into Shabbat. Legally he was able to be full because he had a Saudat mitzvah. Technically, all he has to do is eat a kezayit. So you might think, I'll let him sit down, let him take out some bread, eat a kezayit next. And no, set the table, put the kelim out, put some food out, lechbod the Shabbat, even though you only need the kezayit. The Amar of Hanina, the olam yisadir adam shulchano b'motzei Shabbat. The same thing, a person should set his table on motzei Shabbat, on Saturday night. Afal pi she'enu tzarich ela lekezayit. Even though he's full from Shabbat, and therefore all he really needs is to eat a kezayit, we call that melaveh malka, to escort the Shabbat out, it's proper to make a meal. Call that sa'udat if you eat. And therefore the Gemara says, one should set his table on Motzei Shabbat as well. Hamin b'motzei Shabbat melugma. Now the Gemara tells us that if hot things on Motzei Shabbat are medicinal. What is hot things? As she says, one that drinks hot liquid, for example, he has some hot water, hot tea, something like that on Motzei Shabbat, and he takes a hot bath or shower on Motzei Shabbat, that is medicinal. That's a refuah. Milugma means it's a refuah. Pat hama b'motzei Shabbat. Hot bread on Saturday night, milugma. That is also a refuah. Rab Abhu hava avdim le ba'puke shabbeta. Rab Abhu used to prepare special food for Motzei Shabbat. What did he prepare? Egla tilta is a special kef. Some say it's the third from the womb, which is the tastiest. And some say it's a calf that only grew a third of its maturity, where the meat is very tender and soft. In any event, he would slaughter a special animal specifically for Motzei Shabbat. He didn't eat leftovers. He went and slaughtered a special animal. Hava achil mine kul yeta. And he would eat the kidneys of the animal. That was his Saudat of Yerit. Ki gadal avimi bereh. When his son Avimi got older, Amale, la malach lav sude kodehai. What are you wasting all this food over here to slaughter a separate animal? Nishbo kulieta bimaale shabbeta. Let's just save a kidney from the food of Shabbat. But you know, put a kidney on the side and he'll eat it from one side. So we have to slaughter a separate animal. Shavkuhu. So they left the animal alive that Motzei Shabbat. They didn't slaughter it. He ate leftovers. That Ariyeh Achleh. And a lion came and ate the animal. To show you that you don't save. He was trying to teach his son a lesson. You know, you think we're going to save money by not slaughtering the animal, eating the leftovers? Because we didn't mechabed the menaveh malkah, we lost it anyway. So therefore the lion came, so he taught him the lesson. Amar B'Yoshua ben Nevi taught, Kol ha'oneh amen yeshemeh rabbah, mevarach bechol kocho. Anybody that answers the Kaddish, yeshemeh rabbah mevarach, bechol kocho, as she says, bechol kavanato, with all the proper concentration. And some say, actually, no, bechol kocho means out loud. Kore'in lo gezar dino. They rip and they tear his judgment. Which means if he has a bad gezerah against him, they rip it up. Shene'emar, b'froa pera'ot b'Yisrael, b'tnadev am, barichu Hashem. In this case over here, b'froa pera'ot means that God, b'froa means he negates, pera'ot is troubles. B'froa pera'ot. why does God break and nullify Berahot, meaning Puranut, troubles? Because Berichu Hashem, because they bless him. How do they bless him? By saying Yeshemer Abba Mevarach, and the Gemara says this. What's the reason why God nullifies bad things on a person? Because they go out of their way to bless God. How? By answering Kaddish. Rabbi Hiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Afidu yesh bo shemet shel avodah zarah. Even if he has traces of avodah zarah in his system, and he answers the Kaddish with Kavanah, Mohalim lo, they forgive him. Ketiva, because it says over here, Bifroa peraot, meaning that it says that we said before, Barichu Hashem, those people that answer Kaddish, the Pasuk is written about them the word Bifroa peraot. Uchtiva, and it says by the sin of the Egel, Kifaruahu, they were exposed. Meaning the Jewish people expose themselves to Avodah Zarah. So we see the Pasuk of Kaddish says the word Bifroa Peraot. And we know the word Bifroa Peraot is the same word as Kifaruahu. As if the Pasuk is saying, Bifroa Peraot be Israel, even if a person has Avodah Zarah, but he said, Barichu Hashem, he blesses God by answering Kaddish, and Borei Olam forgives him for it. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ishtakish, Kol Aone Amen Bechol Kocho. Anybody that answers Amen with all his kavanah and strength, Potchim Lo Sha'arei Gan Eden, they open for him the gates of Gan Eden. Shnei Amar Vitchu Sha'arim VeYavo Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunim. Al Tekre Shomer Emunim Ela Sheomrim Amen. Which means the Gemara says, learn from this pasuk over here, that to whom are the gates are going to be opened up? To one that is Shomer Emunim. So the Gemara makes a derasha, Sheomrim Amen, to those people that say Amen. My Amen, because what does the word Amen mean? Amara v'chanina El Melech Ne'eman, that God is trustworthy, which means by saying Amen, we believe that God is trustworthy. If He says it, it'll happen. And therefore, it's a confirmation of what He's saying. For example, we say Beracha, that God, Shakol Yavid Baro, that everything is done by God's word. We say Amen. El Melech Ne'eman. Yes, God is trustworthy. This is true. That He is everything that He says. Shakol Yavid, everything of the world is created through God's speech. In His will. Amar Rav Yehuda b'ned Rav Shmuel m'shemed Rav en adeleka mitzuya chad v'shalom. He's saying that fires are prevalent ela b'mkom sheyesh chilul Shabbat, only in places where there is desecration of Shabbat there are fires. Shneimar, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Vim lo tishmi'u elai lekadesh et yom Shabbat. The Navi says, and if you're not going to listen to me to respect the Shabbat, ul bilti se'et masa, and you're going to carry on Shabbat in a place where you're not allowed. So the pasuk then tells us, and I quote this pasuk again, it's coming from Yirmiyah. He says, v'hitzati esh b'shareha, I'm going to ignite a fire in their gates, v'achila armenot Yerushalayim, and it's going to consume the castles of Jerusalem, velo tichbe, and it's not going to be extinguished. So the Gemara says, my velo tichbe, what do you mean it's not going to be extinguished? Why shouldn't it be extinguished? Every fire is extinguishable. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, b'sha'a she'en b'nei adam mitzuyin nechabota. The fires are going to happen on a day where people cannot extinguish it, meaning Shabbat. And therefore, Chas v'Shalom, Shabbat fires are a result because there is Hilul Shabbat. And therefore, the Navi warns that the fires are going to take place at a day where extinguishing is not going to be prevalent. Amar Abaye, Lohar Ba Yerushalayim, Jerusalem was only destroyed Ela bishvir shehalelu ba'at ha-shabbat. Because the people desecrated the Shabbat, shana emar, because the pasuk says, and we quote, umeshabbetotai he'alimu enehem. The prophet Yehezkel says that the people, they close their eyes from the Shabbat, va'ehal betocham, and it became mundane amongst them. And then the destruction followed. That's the first reason the Gemara says why Jerusalem was destroyed. Hilul Shabbat. Gemara gives other reasons. Amar Avabu, v'har ba'Yerushalayim. You know why Jerusalem was destroyed? Ela bishvil shebitlu kiryat shema shacharit ve'arbit. Because they were negligent in the recitation of kiryat shema in the morning and in the evening. Shnei Elal. The pasuk says, Hoy mashkime baboker. Those people that wake up in the morning, shechar yirdofu. Right away, they run after their drinks, their intoxicating beverages. Uchtiv, and it says, Vaya kinor vanevel tov vechalil veyen mishtehem. Which means, and they would party with all sorts of instruments and all sorts of good drinking, and they would not see the actions of God. Meaning the Jews of the time of the destruction were too busy reveling. In the evening they were having parties, and they were drinking, and they were spending their time all in their pursuits of their pleasures, and they did not see the actions of God. Uchtiv, and the pasuk then says, Lachen gala ami mebelidaat. That's why God says that my nation went into exile. Instead of saying the Kiryat Shema in the morning and the evening, they were partying in the evening and drinking in the day, and therefore they neglected to say the Kiryat Shema. Gemara continues. Amar Rav Menuna, lo har b'Yerushalayim, ela bishvil shebitlu bat yinokot shel bet Rabban. Because they did not teach Torah to the young children. Tirokot shel Bet Rabban, they stopped them, they refrained them from studying Torah. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, and the Navi writes, and we quote, Shefoch al Olal Bachutz. The Pasuk says, the Olal, Olal is the young children. Mata'am shefoch. What's the reason why God poured His wrath on the people? Mishum de'olal bachutz. Because the children were outside. Instead of being in the yeshiva and studying Torah, they did not provide an education for the children. Tirakot shel Bet Rabban. And therefore Jerusalem was destroyed. Amar Ula. Tochar ba'Yerushalayim, ela mepnei shelo haya lahem boshet panim zemize. The reason why Jerusalem was destroyed because the people did not have shame from one another. Meaning, they would commit sins publicly and nobody would be embarrassed. Normally when a person sins and somebody's watching, yeah, they get embarrassed, they go to, you know, they stop. In the times of Jerusalem, they didn't care. Shne'emar, hovishu ki to'eva asu, gam bosh lo yiboshu. It says, not only did they do abominations, but lo yiboshu, they weren't even embarrassed of what they were doing. Amar Rav Yitzchak, lo har ba'Yerushalayim, ela bishvil sheishvu katan ve'gadol. Jerusalem was destroyed because the small one and the big one became equal. There was no ranking anymore. Which is, even the great scholar and the elder were treated equally like the young one and the ignoramus. There was no authority. Everybody was considered equal. The regular person was considered like the Kohen, which means there was no authority. And the Pasuk then writes in the Navi, and we quote it, Pasuk says, Hibok tibok ha'aris, which means, and the land became deteriorated. Amar Rav Amram, Bere
the Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rav Hanina, lo har ba Yerushalayim, ela bishvil shelo hochichu ze et ze. It's because the Jews in that generation did not rebuke each other. When they saw somebody doing something that was improper, they did not stop them, they did not chastise them. Shne'emar, hayu sarea ka'ayalim. The leaders were like ayalim, are like rams. Lo matzi'u mir'ayah. They did not find guidance. What is the comparison that they were like an ayal? So the Gemara says, ma ayal ze. Just like this ram, when it's walking in the flock, rosho shel ze besad zenavo shel ze. They walk with their heads down, and all they look is at the tail of the ram that's in front of them. They don't see anything that's around them. At Yisrael shebeoto ador, so to the Jews in that generation, kavshu peneihem bekarka. They, so to speak, put their head down, and they made themselves that they don't see anything that's happening on the side. Velo chihu zeze. So they were like ayalim. They were, you know, purposely not wanting to see what's going on, and therefore they did not rebuke anybody. And therefore the people continued to perpetuate the sins. Hamar of Yehuda, v'char ba'Yerushalayim, ela bishvil shebizu ba tamidei chachamim. Jerusalem was destroyed because they humiliated tamidei chachamim, the rabbis. Shne'emar, v'yiyu mal'ibim b'malachei ha'Elohim. And they were being mal'iv, they humiliated and they shamed the angels of God. Ubozim devarav, and they were deriding their words. Umit ateim bin biav, and they were mitateim. They were like joking or treating lightly the prophets. Ad alot hamat Hashem be'amo, until the anger of God arose against his nation. Ad le'en marpe, until there was no cure. Gemara says, "My ad le'en marpe." What does this mean? Until there was no cure. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol ha'mebazeh tamid chacham. Anybody that shames or humiliates a tamid chacham, ein lo refuah lemakato. There is no cure to his punishment. She's normally the person, let's say, sins, so he gets punished. So there's a, it makes teshuvah. So he gets there's a healing. There's a way to get better. But Bizui Tamidei Chachamim, Borei Olam protects the Tamidei Chachamim. And the punishment is so great, the Gemara says, Ein refuah lemakato. It's finished. It's without a healing. And that's what the Pasuk says, Ad le'en marpe. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, my tichtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? Al tegi'u b'mshihai, ubin bi'ai, al tare'u. Al tegi'u b'mshihai, do not touch my anointed ones. Those are the children, which means do not play around with the children to take them away from the study of Torah. They're called the anointed ones because in the olden days it was customary to put oil on the little children. So therefore the Navi warns us, don't start with the anointed ones, with the children. Make sure they stay in the yeshiva. Ubin bi'ay al tare'u elu talmidei hachamim, which means this is referring to the talmidei hachamim, the nevi'im, the prophets, so to speak. Al tare'u, do not do bad to them, do not cause them trouble. Comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesi'a, Ein Ha'olam Mitkayem, the world is not in existence, Ela Bishvil Aval Tinokot Shel Bet Rabban, only because of the air that comes out of the mouths of the young children. When they study Torah, the Haval, the wind that comes out of their mouths through the study of Torah, that Torah is pure, and that keeps the world in existence. Gemara says, Amar le Rav Papa la Abaye. So the Papa tells Abaye, you're giving so much credence to the Torah of the little children. Digi v'didach mai.
What about me and you? What, our Torah is not valuable? After all, they were the greatest Amoraim. And here you go along and you give credit to the children in the kindergarten that their Torah is holding up the world? Amar de, so he told them, Eno dome aval sheyesh bochet, aval sheen bochet. You cannot compare the study of the Torah from people that have sins, like the adults, to those young children that are pure. They have no sins. And therefore, their Torah is very, very, very great. You don't take the children out of the yeshiva from learning, even to construct the Beit HaMikdash. Which means the Beit HaMikdash needs workers to come along and help, speed up the process. Let the adults leave the yeshiva and go build the Beit HaMikdash. But the children, stay in the yeshiva, you don't stop them for anything. Unless, of course, it's a Sunday. Then you can stop the children from learning. The Shakish says in the name of Yehuda Nesi'ah, Kak mekubelani me'abotai. Says, I have a tradition from my fathers. Ve'amni la me'avotecha. And some said he was saying that I have a tradition from your fathers. Kol ir she'en batinokot shel bet rabban. Any city that there's no young children in the yeshivas that are studying, Maharivin otam. Bar minnan, that city becomes destroyed. Ravina amar maharimin ota, which means the first opinion says maharivin, they destroy it, but there'll be some remnants. It's not a total destruction. The second opinion says no, it's a harim. Harim means to say total destruction. There's not going to be anything left over. So two versions of what happens to cities that do not have yeshivot for the children. You know what? Jerusalem was destroyed. There were no more honest people. You couldn't find honest people in the street anymore. The Navi says, go look. Look at the streets of Jerusalem. And go look and search. Go see if you'll find even one man, Oseh Mishpat, that does justice, Mevakesh Emunah, and is honest, Ve'eslachla, and I'll forgive. God said through the Nabi, if you can find me one honest man in the city of Jerusalem, I'll forgive the sins. So it seems, and this is referring to, as we'll see in the conclusion of the Gemara, in business. There was no honesty in commerce. People did not keep their words, and they were not They were not straightforward. Ini, you have a contradiction. You're telling me there wasn't honest people at the time of the destruction? The Amar of Katina, afilu b'shaat kishlona shel Yerushalayim, even at the lowest point of Jerusalem, at the failure of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was failing, lo pasku memena anshe amana. But one thing they had, even at the end, honest people. That's a contradiction. You just said that there were no honest people. Now you tell me there was. And then Gemara is going to prove that there were honest people. Shnei Emar. The Navi says, Ki yitpos ish be'achiv. Says the time will come where the fellow is going to grab his brother, Bet Aviv, from his father's house. And he's going to tell his brother, Simla lecha. Literally, you have a dress. Katzin tihye lanu. We want you to be our leader. What does this mean? You have a dress. We want you to be our leader. Devarim shebnei adam mitkasim behem kesimla. These items that people cover themselves up like a dress, you have. What does this mean? Nashi says, kisheshualim otam ta'ame Torah lalu osin atzman. Meaning, just like a dress covers up a person, when it comes to Divrei Torah, most people don't know the right answers to the Devrei Torah, to the questions of Torah, and therefore that she writes, they make believe as if they didn't hear the question because they're embarrassed. They don't know how to give the answer, so they conceal themselves from this subject over here, not to expose their ignorance. So they was the people in the time of the destruction, they would go to their neighbor. Simla yeshlicha, you have the goods. The goods that normal people cover up their ignorance, you have it. Meaning you have the Devrei Torah. You're a smart man. You have katzin tiyelan. We want you to be our leader. Please guide us. So the Gemara says, again, I read on the bottom line, Devarim shebnei adam mitkasim v'hem kesimla, the words of the Devrei Torah, which most people conceal themselves like a dress from answering because they don't know the answer, so therefore they hide themselves. Yeshnam biyadecha. You have. So therefore be our leader. And the Pasuk says, V'amachshela zot tachat yadecha. And literally the stumbling block is under your hands. What does it mean, the stumbling block? Devarim she'en b'nei adam omdim alehem. Ela im ken nikshalim b'hem. Devrei Torah usually is not understood clearly until you make a mistake. Which is usually the person learns by error. And therefore Devrei Torah, which is very, very deep, a lot of times that she tells us that you can't get to the bottom line halakha unless you stumble and then you realize, oh, this is the proper way. So you have to, as she says, you have to repeat it even two or three times to get clarity in order to crystallize it. So you're saying these items that normal, that people have to be nikshal, makshela, people have to stumble over two or three times to get it clear, you have it under your hands. Meaning they're going to go try to appoint hakamim, and they're going to tell them, please, you have the goods, lead us, guide us, katsin tiyeh lanu, be our leader. That fellow that's going to get nominated to be the leader is going to make a swear. Yisa is like lo tisa. He's going to make a swear. Lo yehovesh. I am not going to be the one that girds myself. En yisa ela lashon shivua. The word yisa is a swear. Dechenu omer lo tisa shem Hashem. Lo yehovesh. What does it mean? I'm not going to gird myself or tie myself. Lo yeh mechovshe atzman bebet hamidrash. But the fellow is going to be very honest and say, I'm not one of the guys that tied myself in the Bet Midrash. They're going to be honest and say, I'm not a Tamid Hakam. You're reading me wrong. I don't know all this Torah that you're saying. I wasn't from the ones that, you know, locked myself in the Bet Midrash and studied all day long. And the Gemara continues, Ubebeti en lach en ve'en simla. In my house, I don't have bread. I don't have the dresses. She'en biyadi lo mikra ve'lo mishnah ve'lo gemara. They're going to be very honest. I don't have not humash. I don't know mishnayot. I don't know talmud. I can't be the leader. So the Gemara is trying to prove them over here that you see they were very honest in the times of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Instead of them saying, oh yes, of course, I'm a Tamid Hakam, you got the right guy. And they, listen, we don't want to misrepresent. We don't know the level of Torah that you're giving us credit for. So the Gemara says, this doesn't prove honesty. Umimai. Dilma shariata, maybe it's different over there. Di amar lihu gamirna. Because if they would tell them, yes, we're Tamidei Hakamim, we know, Amrule, they would tell them, Emalan. They would say, okay, good, give us a Devrei Torah now. And then they would be exposed for not knowing anything. So they, that's not considered honesty. The only reason why they were honest is to save themselves from embarrassment. But of course, if they're going to come along and say, yes, we're really Tamidei Hakamim, now they're going to say, okay, teach us something. And they're going to start to fumble. And therefore, maybe the only reason why they were honest, not because they really wanted to be honest, but because they had no choice. The Gemara says, no. Havale lememar gamar v'shachach. If they wanted, they could have lied and said, yes, we learned a lot of Torah, but we forgot it. From the fact that they came along and said, as we're going to see in a moment, we never knew it. That already shows They were honest. They had a way to lie honorably. They could have said, oh yes, there was a time where we knew a lot of Divrei Torah, but we forgot it. But they didn't say that. They were straightforward. And the Gemara says, "Mai lo ehiye chovesh." What do you mean when they said that we will not be lo ehiye? We will never be those people that are trapped, so to speak, girded in the Bet HaMidrash. The Gemara says, "Mai lo ehiye chovesh klal," meaning ever, which means not today and not in the past. So comes the Gemara and says, now we go back to the question. So you see, they were honest. You just told me that Jerusalem was destroyed because there was no more honest people. Now we're showing you that these people were honest. It depends. When it came to business, there was no honest people. And that's what the Navi said. Find me one honest businessman and I'll save Jerusalem for it. Jerusalem was destroyed because there was no honesty in business. However, when it came to Divrei Torah, in that realm, there was honesty. Rabotai, there's a very, very interesting Maharsha that actually summarizes this whole Amud. I'd like to read it with you because it's a great Musar. He comes along and says, Vehine, Rov Avonot, Vekimat Kulam, Hem Bedor Hazeh Bavonotenu Arabim. He says, all the sins that we just enumerated on today's daf, unfortunately, they're still around in our generation. Isur Shabbat, the desecration of Shabbat, me'at mizir shenizharim bayim. A minority of people are careful in Hilchot Shabbat. Ve'rabim she'enam yud'im be'isuran. There's many people don't even know it's forbidden. Ve'ra'ui bechol ki'ila lo'diyah be'rabim, it's incumbent upon the communities to promote the teachings of Hilchot Shabbat. Ubchol Motzei Shabbat, and every Saturday night, Rabbimim Shederich Hayuvu Lahem Neshtakeh B'Motzei Shabbat. People go out Saturday nights, and they go to party, and they get drunk. Ulbatir Kiryat Shema Shal Shaharit B'Zmano. And Sunday morning, most people miss Kiryat Shema, just like in the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Bitul tinokot shel bet rabban, the children that are not studying Torah, matsui bechol kehila, gam habachurim, even the teenagers, mebatlim rov hayamim beben hazmanim, they're wasting their days beben hazmanim in between semesters, yolchim berchovot, bebitulim beteyulim, they're wandering the streets aimlessly and they're going on trips and wasting their time. Be'anyan sheshvu katan kegadol, when there's no level of higher or lower in the generation, everybody's considered equal. Who parus bedor hazeh? It's rampant in our generation. Shekol ahad rotze liyot rav ve'av bedin. Everybody wants to have a title of rav. Everybody's calling themselves av bedin be'en Torah. Even though they're ignorant, they have no Torah. Today, even the small one makes himself like the big one. Everybody wants to give an image to portray as if they're wealthy. Whether by wearing fancy ostentatious clothes, or building homes. And then, if they really don't have the money, it causes them to come and steal and be dishonest. There is no rebuke anymore. It doesn't exist to rebuke somebody. שאומר כל אחד על חברו ראוי לחוש על כבודו. Because everybody says, nah, he has כבוד, how can I rebuke him? I can't, who am I to say anything? ויזוי תלמידי חכמים, the derision of תלמידי חכמים, ושלא לקבל תוכחתם, and not to receive their rebuke, מצוי הוא בכל יום. Rampant again. מסע ומתן אינו באמונה. We don't find honest business practices. בכל מיני הונאה, and as usury, ribit, is charging interest, negezelah, and outright stealing, ad shenaasa keheter, until this has become the normal business, the way, where people say, you can't be honest if you want to succeed in business. This is normal business practice, accepted business practice. And the
Maharsha concludes and says, "V'yesh lekol yirah Hashem v'harid." Any God-fearing person, "Nasum libo nechozot," must place these words on his heart. U'mishbiyadol limchot yimche. Anybody has the ability to rebuke on this, must rebuke. V'yochiyach ze'etze. And everybody should strengthen each other. Al kol zot na'yara u'i le'arich mechozet. He says, and really, it was worthy for me to be very lengthy, meaning even more lengthy than I am. Achamarti ulai lo yem mashgiach bedavar. He said, but I didn't want to go too explicit because I'm worried that people won't listen to my rebuke. And the rabbis taught us sometimes it's better not to rebuke the people, better that they be ignorant than know it and transgress it willingly. Mutavshu shogegin. This is a great musar over here, that maybe that's why Jerusalem has not been rebuilt, because the sins that existed then, the same maladies that they had in those days, were still suffering. Yidatzon, we should be able to accept this musar and fix these havonot, and then as at the Shem Jerusalem will be rebuilt, as well as the Beit HaMikdash, b'merah b'yameinu, amen.
Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen v'amen.